We're still coming to terms with the extent of the damage from the recent heat wave in the Pacific Northwest. Hundreds of people died from the extreme temperatures. Out at sea, the death toll was also severe. Perhaps more than a billion, that's with a B, marine animals died from the heat. Marine biologist Alyssa Gaiman was tracking this from the University of British Columbia and the Hakai Institute in Vancouver. Describe the scene, if you could, Alyssa, on some of these beaches where a lot of dead animals washed up. What was going on?
Yes, so I live near the ocean, and on the day of this high heat wave event, I actually went down to go swimming because I was incredibly hot myself. And when I got there, the first thing I noticed was this sort of putrid baking shellfish smell that really alerted me that something was terribly wrong. I went out to investigate what was happening, and I saw all these mussels just popped open. So an entire sort of bed wall of mussels were popped open, and mussels shouldn't be open during a low tide. They need to be closed, holding water in to survive those high heat events. But clearly it had just gotten too hot. I will admit that I still tried to go swimming. And as I got to go in the water, a dead crab floated past me. And that's when I just decided there was too much mortality on that beach for me really to swim.
That's really tragic. So mussels, a dead crab, but we're talking a billion marine animals dead. What kind of other species are we talking about? And how did you get to that figure, 1 billion?
Yeah, so it's a first estimate figure. And what we started with really was the mussels, because they're the most obvious mortality. You can see them immediately. One of the things about mussels is that they're foundation species. So as a mussel bed, what we can see are the mussels, but inside that bed, there's crabs, there's snails, there's sea stars around them. And then as you start to expand out into other habitats, and we've been hearing about shellfish loss, so clams were dying in the mud, and we're just beginning to understand the full extent of the mortality.
So a billion dead individual animals, that obviously has knock-on effects. What are the cascading impacts of so many dead animals on these ecosystems?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, mussels are foundation species, so there's the animals that live within them. There's the animals that eat them. So crabs really like to eat mussels. And then on top of that, mussels are actually filter feeders. So one mussel can filter up to 6 gallons of water a day. If you add that up to our estimate of a billion, that's a lot of filter feeding that is not happening. Filter feeders are incredibly important because they clear the water and they allow light penetration into the eelgrass beds. And the eelgrass beds are important habitats for all these animals that are important to human livelihoods.
So that was the next thing I was going to ask you. It's not just other animals, but people rely on these ecosystems for food. How are coastal communities affected and coping?
I know that there were large amounts of losses in the shellfish farms in the region, and they suggest that we've had devastating losses.
So, Alyssa, you study the relationship between coastal ecosystems and climate change. Is this an impact of climate change that you had been predicting?
This is a fundamental climate change issue, but this is much warmer than I was expecting and much sooner. I mean, we know that there will be an increase in the number and the frequency of these rare events, but this event was incredibly poorly timed for the animals in this system. So these are intertidal organisms. They live between the land and the sea. They experience high temperatures regularly. But this particular heat dome event happened at the exact wrong moment for them. It was the lowest tides of the year, so they're out of the water for the longest amount of time. And also the widest amount of area was available to be experiencing this incredible heat event. And these temperatures are well beyond anything that we had expected them to experience anytime soon. In some locations, we actually measured, so the mussels live on a rock and they're directly exposed to the sun. And some locations, the mussel in that sort of direct irradiance, the direct sunlight, would heat up to 120 degrees. And that's just well beyond what they can actually survive.
So this was unprecedented. I'm just wondering how it feels for you, Alyssa, on a personal level, to see so much death in an ecosystem that you study and care about.
Yeah, it's been incredibly depressing. I really love these ecosystems. I love working in these ecosystems. I love the animals that are there. And to see a mortality event of this kind just is incredibly sad.
I mean, it seems with the recent heat wave, salmon, for example, were able to be trucked to cooler holding pools, but that can't be a sustainable option for all animals moving ahead. If this is climate change induced, the solution is dealing obviously with climate change. Are there short-term fixes?
That's the hardest thing for these particular animals is, as there's really, this is where their habitat, this is where they live. And we're very concerned that, especially if these huge heat stress events become more frequent, that they won't be able to survive in these environments. And there isn't really a short-term fix.
Where have you been looking for hope in the last few days since this heat wave essentially kind of came to a close?
The one thing that brings me hope is that we know that these mussels, when they die of heat stress, or really know that they're going to die, they release a lot of larvae. I really hope that those larvae survive and are able to recruit back. And so we're hoping that they will be able to survive in the longer term, but that's yet to be seen.
Alyssa Gaiman is a marine biologist with the Hakai Institute. She's been speaking with us from Vancouver. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
From PRX.